Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Zach James. 2 years of career experience, a backstep firefighter with the City of Melbourne Fire Department in Florida. Even though Zach's young into his fire service career, the individuals he looks up to, the ones who were able to train him in recruit class, the ones he is able to work and train alongside now, are one of the reasons why the fire service is in good hands. For any individual out there looking to get into the fire realm, or anyone with the same or less amount of time Zach has, listen to how this young man speaks and ask yourself, why not me? With that, I present Mr. Zach James.
I'm Zach James, 33 years old. I work at a Melbourne Fire Department in Florida.
All right, Zach. Sorry, buddy. Appreciate you coming on and getting ready to talk some shop here. If you don't mind, can you tell the audience how you got into the fire service?
So I initially didn't want to get, I come from a military background too. I was 9 years in the Air Force, as a maintainer. I did a couple other things there as well. And, when I got out, decided to do the medical route, went to EMT school. Just my uncle was a firefighter and I kind of liked that whole flow of things. So I went to EMT school directly into paramedic school and, thought I was going to do that to go do flight nurse or go into like nursing school, stay on the medical side. And somebody convinced me at the end of medic school to just check out fire school. So I was like, sure, why not? Signed up for fire school. And within like the first week, I was like, this is it. Like, this is what I want to do. Especially with the big draw for me with the fire department was that nothing is ever the same, which is something I thrive on. That's why I joined the military. I've worked countless different jobs in my life. And something about just the fact that it's always changing was incredible to me. And then the intensity of it, how fitness was paramount for the progression of your career, as well as the completion of your job. And then the camaraderie, probably above all else, like to have the same brotherhood I had in the military, in the fire department without all of the government oversight, I guess you could say. Like there's a sense of freedom with the fire department. You work for a city. I grew up in Melbourne, the department I work for. So it was awesome for me. Looking back now to come to this department and to be able to serve my community that I grew up in, as well as to share that with a bunch of men and women who have the same drive and motivation that I do for the career field. So that was like my main push into the fire service was actually just a random one. I went to fire school and then I was like, this is it. I found my calling and took me till I was 31 years old to find it, but we're here.
Hey, age is nothing but a number, but I love the fact that you were able to find this profession and that you jumped with both feet right in and you love it and you have that passion. And I truly hope that continues for your career, because coming from myself, who I've been in it a while, man, it's ebbs and flows. It's all about who you surround yourself with. It's all about hopefully the vision that your organization has, but we'll definitely talk about that here in a little bit. In the meantime, for those that don't know, can you tell us a little bit about Melbourne, the size, amount of personnel, stations, thing like that?
Yes, sir. So Melbourne Fire Department is in Central East Florida. We're about 15 to 20 minutes south of Cocoa Beach. That's what everybody knows is Cocoa Beach, the Space Center. We have eight stations. Two of them have towers, a north end and a south end tower. Our personnel is anywhere from 150 to 155. We're in like a hiring process right now too. So it's ebbing. There's some people leaving, people coming in. We run on average about 20,000 calls a year. Some of the stations being a lot more busy than the other ones. We have an airport. So we have our certified firefighters as well. We have a boat. And plans to move on into other avenues of the fire service as well. A lot of rescue specialists in our department, a lot of guys that are on TRT. We have a couple smoke divers and guys that are trying to go into smoke diver now as well. So it's a young department. We have a lot of transitions coming up right now, new drivers, new lieutenants, new BCs. And it's exciting. Like it's really cool to be in right now just because our department is We just got our class, our ISO 1 certification a year and a half ago, which is awesome. So we're moving up. We got new stations being built, old ones being redone, new apparatus on the way, a heavy on the way. So it's an exciting time to be with Melbourne just because of the growth that is currently happening in the department. And our city has our backs. So it's nice.
Awesome. Okay. What's your minimum staffing like across your apparatus?
Four on every apparatus is what we like to maintain. That's tower and engine. So it's four-man apparatus. A couple of the stations we can and sometimes do run five on the engines. And then some stations will run three if needed. But our minimum across the board is four.
Okay. And are you guys ALS or BLS combined, or is it strictly you have to be ALS?
All ALS capability. So you can be an EMT firefighter, but every apparatus has ALS capability.
Okay. Is it a requirement in order to promote to get your ALS or no?
No, it is not. I don't know if that's going to change in the future. Right now, it's not. It seems not ridiculous. It seems like a no-brainer. Like you would want to be a medic at some point in your career. And a lot of guys are making that transition now. There's quite a few people that we send at least 6 to 10 people through medic school every year at our local college here. And it's something that a lot of people are looking into doing. So just because that's where we're headed. That's 80% of our call volumes right there.
Okay. Do you guys do transport or no?
No, we do not. Our county transports. So, as the city, we just run. We're there before the county. We have more stations, more manning. So, we get there, we do all our patient care, have the patient package and ready to go by the time the county gets there. At least that's the idea. And most of the time, that does happen. We have a very good working relationship with our county and all of their apparatus. So, we're respected in that regard. We're aggressive medically. Like, we like to get on scene and get things done. So,
Okay. If Melbourne gets a first due structural box assignment, what does that box consist of?
as far as apparatus going,
Yes.
it depends on who, what area it's in and stuff like that. But usually if it's like a first due structure fire, we'll get two engines at least and a tower going. And then we'll just escalate it from there, depending on how big or the situation that's happening.
Okay.
But almost always it's an engine, tower, and then usually another engine, unless it's a confirmed fire, then you're getting 3 to 4 engines relatively quickly. Our ability to get on scene with boots on the ground quickly is pretty incredible. We're very, very aggressive when it comes to fighting fire. Like you don't see our fires on the news or anything like that. We get there, we get the job done, we get out as quickly as possible. And our city has good coverage with us being there. And we will go and help out other departments as well if they need it, and they will come help us as well too.
Okay, that was kind of going to be my next question. What departments are around you guys?
So the county is Brevard County Fire Rescue.
Okay.
They cover our entire Brevard County. And then we have the city of Melbourne, that's us. And then just south of us is Palm Bay. To the east, you have Satellite Beach Fire Department, their beachside department. To the north, you have Rockledge. And then Titusville is a little further north there. Beachside, you've got Cocoa Beach. So there's quite a few departments in our county
Okay.
that all kind of work together. We train with each other when we can. We respond to calls sometimes with them. It just depends on what's going on. But we have pretty close relationships with all the departments in the area.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. with you being 2.5 years in, because this question will kind of I kind of want it to correlate to anybody that's thinking about, joining the fire service. What did you look for in a department to attract you to it? Like, what exactly were you looking for?
That's a good question. When I was in fire school, I had dreams to go to Orlando Fire Department. There, everybody knows about Orlando Fire Department in Florida. It's either
Right.
Miami-Dade or Orlando, like the bigger departments. And for some reason, I decided not to. And I remember where I was. We were loading hose on the back of an engine during an evolution, and one of the lieutenants from Melbourne was asking me what I wanted to do. I was like, oh, I want to go to Orlando. I want to do that whole job. And he's like, oh, that's cool. He's like, you should check out Melbourne too, just 'cause. And it struck me odd because we had a lot of Melbourne instructors in my class that never talked, not necessarily didn't talk about their department, but they weren't like hammering it down everybody's throat like other departments were. They were very humble. They were extremely good at their jobs, very knowledgeable on the course material, and just very humble people. And that was very attractive to me because I knew they had a very good reputation. They were continuing to go up with the ISO Class 1 certifications and some of the training that they implemented, and people that I knew from Melbourne that, again, just like were heavy hitters, guys that have, done Smoke Diver and have their rescue specialist certifications and have seen some crazy stuff and were the most humble people I could ever imagine. And that was what mainly attracted me to the department. That coupled with the fact that, like I said, I grew up in Melbourne and got to see them a lot, like just, as a kid and things like that. And to see where they came from then to where they are now and how the department has grown and the humility that they carry, yet they're an extremely badass department, is what attracted me to them ultimately.
Okay, perfect, perfect. And so let's fast forward a little bit. You apply, you get the position offered to you. I'm assuming you have to do some sort of rookie school or something of that nature, correct?
Yeah, so when I started, we had a 3 week orientation. It's now 6 weeks with an unbelievable training staff that's dedicated to training newbies and stuff like that that come in. But it wasn't a joke what I went through either. I got lucky because when I got on, it was me and three other people. We had an acquired structure that same period of time. So for a whole week, we got to work on real buildings and do actual firefighter stuff that I like. Even in fire school, you don't get to like get to that level of realism because you're actually in houses. We were smoking things out, we were cutting through roofs, so that was legit. Our PT, it is known to be grueling. Like we have a very high fitness standard at our department, just because that's just where we're going. I feel like that's where the fire service is going as well. So that was also extremely challenging. Now it's even more so challenging, which is awesome. But yeah, it's a 3 week orientation. You run you through the ins and outs of Melbourne. We got to do a bunch of different stuff from basic firefighter skills to tagging hydrants to some EVOC training to fitness training to acquired structures. And that was just with the 3 week orientation. Now we're double that. And with a dedicated training staff, it's gone through the roof. Our orientation is top notch.
That sounds like definitely dialed in, which is always a good thing. So you come off of crew class, they give you an assignment. How did you find, or I don't know if you have any other, and I think you did allude that you had some friends that are in the fire service, or at least an uncle, but how did you pick who to surround yourself with? Because to me, it's all about who you surround yourself with, and it's also the luck of the draw of your assignment. Unfortunately, there are a lot of go-getter hungry firemen that get put on a crew where they're just like, I just want to sit on the couch. I don't really want to do much. So with that being said, did you find certain people like, okay, I want to kind of be around these individuals here because they emulate what I want to be, for
Oh yeah.
for future
Yes,
representation?
sir. Absolutely, absolutely. Actually, my buddy Pat Milbacher, I should link you up with him at some point. He's an awesome dude. He had just finished the Florida Smoke Diver program successfully, his first time through. Right when about the time I was getting hired. And if you know anything about Florida Smoke Diver, just to get through that course, the level of fitness and motivation that you have to have, discipline, not I don't want to say motivation, the level of discipline you have to have for yourself has to be immense. So I immediately clung to him. I was like, hey, like you're my guy. Like this is what I want to do. I love this department. I want to do what you're doing. And that just, becoming friends with him allowed me to meet other like-minded individuals. And then I started to realize like this department is full of people that have that drive and motivation, and we're constantly getting new people that feel the same way. Your first year here, you are a probationary firefighter. You go through four different training stations once a quarter. So you get a little bit of an adjustment to every area in the city and different crews. The cool thing about Melbourne is that even if you're on an older crew or a crew that maybe doesn't take fitness as a higher priority or training as a higher priority, at least one person on that crew does. So no matter where I was, I always had at least one person, if not more. Most of the times it was more that were like, hey, we're going out and training. We're going to go pull hose. We're going to get in gear. We're going to get on air. We're going to go run. We're going to go work out. And that was something that I've always done for myself, especially coming into the fire service as a 31-year-old. It's different because I already have a set standard for myself. So that never changed. Even if I was at a station that was lazier, people don't want to work out. Like, I'm still going out there and getting in gear. And sometimes people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm going to go train. They'd be like, all right, I guess I'll join you. And then you get more people involved. And now it's like, that's the standard. Like, well, then the rookies out there training in gear. Why aren't we doing that? So that's kind of where our department's at. So I don't, you honestly don't run into a lot of undisciplined individuals in this department. There are, everybody's got their couple people for sure. But with us transitioning into a younger, fitter department, it's just like, even if you're having a bad day and you're like, oh, I don't want to work out, someone's pulling your ass off the couch. Like, no, we're going outside right now. So it's the department's great for that.
No, that sounds, like I said, sounds fantastic for sure. And that's, you're right. Every department has one or two bad apples that, will try to kill your vibe, kill your drive, but like you said, as long as you have one, it makes it all worth it for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So my next question for you is, what does the term aggressive mean to you, in your opinion?
Like term aggressive. So aggressive, I feel like it used to mean somebody who was a go-getter, who would not quit, would drive at all costs to get the job done. Like, you're aggressive. People know you as that. Now that I'm older, I think of the term aggressive as something that I keep in my quiver because I feel like I love the phrase slow is smooth, smooth is fast. To me, that's aggressive. If you can do a job and perform it smoothly without having hiccups, you're already going to be fast, which means you're going to be aggressive, which means you're going to get the job done. So aggressive to me is slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Like, you can be aggressive, but you don't have to be the guy that's screaming and yelling and trying to, like, let's go. You can be the guy that's calm, cool, collected, conducting yourself, breathing appropriately, and then getting the task done. So that's what aggressive means to me.
Love the answer. Love the answer. Okay. Let's talk about physical fitness, because you come from, I think you said, I'm gonna butcher it. You said Air Force or?
Yes, sir. Air Force. Yes,
Okay.
sir.
All right. So you come from the Air Force, where I've never been in any of the military branches, but I do know people that have. I want to say thank you for your service in the Air Force for sure.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
And I'm assuming the Air Force has fitness standards, correct?
yes, they do.
Okay.
They get made fun of a lot for the fitness standards, but yes, they do have a fitness standard.
Okay. So is it eye-opening to you coming in being I don't want to say newbie, but being a new person into the fire service, where you see individuals who don't take it seriously, especially when you think about all that we do, and add on top of that, you are in Florida where it gets hot and very humid. So, like, how important is physical fitness to you?
I think it's the top because I don't only think that you have to be physically fit to perform the job, but you have to be physically fit if you want longevity in this career field, period. Like, that's got to be paramount if you want to be a career firefighter, in my opinion, for sure. Because yeah, people can take the back seat and be lazy, but by the time you're a lieutenant on your way to retiring and you're that guy that's on the couch and feeling sorry for yourself, like what life do you have to live after the fire department if you're not already physically fit? And then not even that, but like you said, like our job requires that we're physically fit because it's not an if situation to me. Like, it's a when. I want to be the guy that if my buddy is inside and there's a writ situation, I want them to be like, I'm in a really bad situation. I could die. Oh, but Zach and the guys are outside, so they'll come get, like, I know they got me, and I want them to have that confidence, you know? Just like if I was the guy that needed Rit or needed somebody to come get me, or even worse, if my family was in a situation and they're in a fire, I don't want some lazy, guy that just got off the recliner and is like, oh, we got to go on another call to go out and, serve them. What if it's a bad day to where, like, you need every ounce of strength you got? Or you need every ounce of mental resiliency. You can't, I don't think you can sleep on it anymore in the fire department. And this whole trend towards firefighters or athletes, I 100% believe in, because no job in the world does what we do with the schedule that we have and then is asked to continuously do it over and over and over again. Like, that's insane to me. Like, you have to take care of yourself. And if you're not putting fitness at the top of your list of things to do, I don't think it's a career for you. I really don't. Because I don't, like I said, I don't want you coming in to get me if I feel like you're going to drain a bottle in 10 minutes because you're so winded from walking across the yard. Like you said, Florida's hot. Like, you got to be able to maintain your composure and be cool under duress, especially when it's like you're already sweating before you even get out of the engine. Like, now you're going to go into a building that's on fire. Like, you got to be fit. You got to be fit.
Okay. And like I said, I just wanted to reiterate that for anybody that's thinking the newest member to the senior member, like, physical fitness is a priority. I see the audience or the listeners can't see it, but you're wearing a Rogue Firemanship hat. So I'm sure
Absolutely.
you know, shout outs to Logan Broberg.
Absolutely. It's my boy.
Does it help when you, I'm sure you have some sort of social media, so I'm sure you follow, like, Rogue Firemanship, Logan's personal account and various others, John Spear, Fit the Fight. How much does that play in a role into keeping you, I don't want to say motivated, but, like, we follow these individuals, we follow certain sites and pages because it's what we truly believe in. How much does that help you in the discipline to keep going? Because there are days where I wake up and I go to work and it's like, I really don't want to do this gear workout today. But you suck it up and you just do it. So is that something that kind of helps you keep going?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just 'cause, like, there's other guys that are taking it seriously too. And, like, that's why I created that Instagram account I have, because I love the motivation that you can give people through your own suffering and the ideas you can give for workouts and things like that. But, like, you bounce things off each other. But even with all those accounts that I follow, like, it's still kind of a niche market, honestly. Like, it's a very small group of individuals that have these accounts that are starting to get bigger. Guys are starting to have a social media presence, but it's still small. Like, it's still something that I want to see get, continue to build up and get bigger. So, it's awesome to see people like Logan or Dylan Curtis with Brigham's Company. That's the sweatshirt I'm wearing too.
Okay.
Guys like that. It's awesome to see people post their workouts. It's awesome to see guys talk about motivation or just to show where they came from and the accomplishments that they've received and the things that they're constantly trying to go after. Because, like, it's if I'm doing it, it's nice to see other people are doing it too. And it's not just my department, and that's motivating for everybody. Because, like you said, when you get to work, you're like, oh, I don't want to do this workout, and then of course, get on your phone, flipping through the phone. I'm like, oh, Logan's out in gear right now, doing something. I'm like, damn it. All right. Well, I'm going to go outside and go get this done.
Right. No, okay, for sure. Because, like I said, I know there are days where I'm like, I don't want to do this. And then, like I said, you flip through and you're like, all right, it's like a guilt trip. And so you don't want to do it, but at the end, it's so funny how, like, you dread that you have to do this workout. You dread, like, during whatever round you're in, you're like, crap, I got a couple more to go. But it's so rewarding when you get done, you take everything off, you're like, I got it done. Like, the rest of the day is complete. It's set to go in motion. Like, you get such a sense of relief after.
Yep, and that's another, addition to your armor right there. Like, even if it's a like we did a gear workout yesterday. It was supposed to be a relaxing day. We're gonna do something really simple, and I was like, nah, screw that. Let's do a gear workout. So we did an air consumption drill, just me and a couple of my lieutenant, driver, and another firefighter. And it's only 30 minutes long. wasn't anything crazy, but we were smoked by the end, and we were all like, man, I feel good. Like, it was just a skill set kind of drill that we did, and that makes you better. I don't care if it's 10 minutes, you're still making yourself better.
Fantastic. Okay. So this next question, I mean, it's down, down the line for future representation, but where do you see yourself? Where would you like to see yourself in the fire service at some point? Like, what rank?
I would definitely like to be a lieutenant for sure. All in due time. I had the opportunity to test for driver this year. Because we just moved to a 2 year for driver, 3 year for lieutenant. Just because our, like I said, our department's young, so we're trying to move people up quickly. And I opted out of the driver testing simply because, like, I want to become. I feel like the fire department is experience based for sure. Like, yes, you can read all the books and take all the classes, but experience is the king of all when it comes to actually being a good firefighter. And there are some courses that are able to put you through that level of experience that make you a better firefighter, like Florida Smoke Diver is one of them. Definitely some of the, like, One Bad Tour, that's another one. Like, there are certain courses you can go through that give you that level of experience in a safe environment so that you can see how far you can push yourself and if your skill sets are on the same level as your fitness and on the same level as, like, your mental capacity to perform the skill set. So, long story short, I opted out of it because I wanted to be a firefighter for another year to get more of a skill set as a firefighter, and then I'll test for driver next year. But I would like to be a lieutenant at the end of my career. Just being older, I was a staff sergeant in the Air Force, so I'm familiar with leadership roles, and I feel like it would be a good fit for me later on in life once I have some more experience. But we'll see. After that, I don't know. I want to retire from Melbourne, so wherever that takes me, if I'm a BC one day, then so be it. But at least a lieutenant, just because there's something special about being in that position for sure. And once you earn that position, I think it's a very coveted title and something that's something to aspire to. Absolutely.
Fantastic. I truly love the fact that you said yes, you were able to test, but you opted not to for your own personal reasons to better for the betterment of learning the position that you're in now more. And it speaks to me because, yes, a lot of departments are transitioning where what I call the old heads are getting ready to retire. And the newer generation, the newer personnel that's getting ready to step up might not have the years of service that most would want to see, but it's an unfortunate growing pain within communities all over the nation with the fire department. So I truly like that you hit that you said I'm going to give myself one more year to get better before moving up because so many feel like they need to promote often, and they need to do it as soon as possible.
Exactly. Yep. And I feel like that's a common fault in the fire department is like promote, promote, promote. Because it, oh, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm
Oh,
still here.
there we go. Oh, okay. For some reason, I cut out for a second. But yeah, I feel like that's a common fault sometimes in the fire department is promoting as quickly as possible. Because, I mean, yes, the military promotion is kind of similar, but the skill sets and the experience that you attain through your time in service are designed in the military in a way that once you reach that rank, you're ready for whatever tasks they give you. The fire department is a little different depending on what department you come from. I can't speak for everything, but this idea of promotion super quickly, I feel like can be a detriment, not to everybody. But if you open the door for one person, you better open the door for everybody else. And sometimes that everybody else might not be ready for the position that you're going to give them, or that they're going to go earn. Because, like, you can earn the position, but do you have the experience and the history to be able to perform the position, eloquently? And some people don't. So I feel like the drive for promotion is necessary because, like you said, that's kind of where a lot of departments are headed. But it can be a slippery slope for sure. As
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. Do you attend any outside training?
a little bit here and there. My first year was kind of just getting acclimated to the department. I went to a rope course. I have another one scheduled this year with a couple other courses. I did attend Florida Smoke Diver this past January, and I got pulled from the course the last day, which was probably the best training I've ever had in my entire life. I mean, military, all of it, like unbelievable experience. And I have plans to do that again next year. So me and a bunch of guys from my department are actually training together right now for that. And then whatever comes my way, like sometimes it's random. Like I'd like to do one bad tour, I think, this year if I can make it happen. And then I train for other stuff too, but I'm just slowly building up classes because that's another thing that I see too is everybody wants to get classes done. I want the certification, but if you're doing the class, are you applying it at work? Are you able to practice what you preach? Are you like, yeah, you can be completely teched out, and then we have a tech call, and they're like, hey, I need you to give me a tie back and crib this side of the car, and you're like, wait, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, well, you have 17 tech classes. Why can't you figure that out? So. I'm just kind of taking them in stride and trying to soak in everything I can from each course before I move on to the next one. I'm not trying to rush the process. I mean, 2.5 years in, we got a long career ahead. I'm trying to just maintain that and soak everything in at a very deep level.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. I'm like, it truly brings a smile on my face to hear you. Like, I have time because so many people want to knock out. All right, I'm gonna go get my driver operator. I'm gonna go get my TR, my heavy rescue tech, my dive, all that stuff. And it's like, let's focus on the bread and butter, which is fire and EMS. That's what most fire departments run. A lot of them, it's EMS based for sure. You know, and then you add your fires here and there, but you know, it's humbling and it's just a delight to hear you say, like, I want to focus on the majority of our calls before worrying about anything else. So,
Yeah, I mean that's what we do, you know, like everybody loves the glitz and glamour of fighting fire and doing crazy. I mean, I don't get me wrong, that is my favorite thing about the job for sure. But at the end of the day, sometimes all it takes is being able to show up on scene and run a code efficiently, you know, or to help somebody out of a bad situation. Like that's sometimes all you need to do to like understand that you have a place in this role. I don't take it lightly at all that when I was a kid and I saw firefighters, I automatically looked up to them. Like that guy has dedicated his life to service of the community, and that's something I respect. And I don't take that lightly being a firefighter because when we go out or we respond to calls or we do things like you are somebody's hope. You're some kid's hero. You're somebody's person that they look up to. You're somebody's aspiration. Like it could be whatever it is. Like you mean something to somebody at that level that you don't even know. So be good at what we do regularly because that could mean the difference between making somebody's day or saving somebody's life, even, you know? And that's, I mean, if you're there for your community, making somebody's day and saving somebody's life should, you know, they should be the same to you. Like you should want to always present yourself and act in a way that looks good on you and your department and give the public confidence in what you can do for them.
well said, well said, absolutely. With that being said, you know, with the whole community tie that you kind of hit on, do you have any family that lives within the aid stations of Melbourne?
Yes. Oh, yeah. My grandmother lives outside of one of our North End stations. So if anything happened big in her neighborhood, we'd be there. My uncle works for Palm Bay here in the South. Kind of a caveat, but like if we have something go on, he responds to my house. And then I got tons of friends and people that live in Melbourne. So yeah, there's a lot of people in my area. I see everybody a lot.
Okay. And I'm sure that also plays a huge factor in being prepared, being trained, being physically fit, because you have a stake in the game. You know, unfortunately, there are a good number of firemen who don't live in the city or municipality they work because it might be too high or whatever the case may be, but you have skin in the game.
Absolutely. Oh, I think that makes a huge difference too, for sure. Like commuting to work isn't bad. There's guys that do it, but when you are shopping at the same places that we shop on shift, and when you're seeing the same people that you see on a regular basis, whether you've run calls or you just see them out and about, it makes a big difference. Because not only are you holding yourself accountable on shift, but especially off shift too. People know you, people recognize you, people see what you do and what you're about. And if you're not practicing what you preach, then people recognize that. So I think it's good. It's good to be in the city that you work in. It might not be for everybody, and not that everybody has to do that. I just think it's, for me, it's good. Like, I like it. It keeps me accountable and lets me know that I'm doing the right thing for sure.
Okay. All right. Next question for you. Engine work or truck work?
Right now, engine work, because that's what I'm good at. We spend a lot of time in the engine. You do have to be teched out to have an assigned position on the tower. It doesn't mean we can't, like, I float to the tower sometimes as the medic, and it's a different ball game for sure. But right now, engine work, because that's my bread and butter. That's what I'm good at. I don't mind dragging hose and forcing doors and going interior and things like that. And then truck work's great too. Like, it's just a different ball game. You know, I've done both on fires, and I couldn't tell you which one I like more, honestly, as long as I'm getting to do some work. I don't really care. So I just like the work. Like, if you put me on a roof or put me inside, I'm happy either way. So.
Regarding smoke dives, you said you plan on attending, and I'm assuming you mean Florida, correct?
Yes.
So you said earlier that you and a couple of your friends are preparing yourselves to hopefully be Florida certified, Florida smoke diver certified.
Yes, sir.
What kind of preparation are you guys doing in order to hopefully be successful?
A ton of endurance training. But, like, honestly, it's not even just endurance. Like, you kind of got to be a jack of all trades for sure. Because I wanted to go last year, and I went, but I remember at the beginning of the year, before I had made up my mind and signed up for the course and everything, I told my buddy, like, hey, I want to go to Smoke Diver. He had just graduated. I'm like, what does it take? And he's like, well, if you want to go, you need to dedicate an entire year to the process. He's like, and I mean that legitimately. Like, you have to, that's your focus. It's on your dream board, whatever you want to do. Like, that's your pinpoint focus. And then everything needs to be geared around that. And I did that, and it paid dividends tremendously when I went into the course. Because I got to see exactly what I was made of, what I was extra was strong in, what I was weak in. And then also, I got to push myself to the point of breaking completely, which is something I've never gotten to do. But that's a testament to the level of training that I put myself through last year. And it's something that we're all doing together this year. So, I do a lot of very mixed training. I like to run ultras, so I train for ultra marathons a lot. So it's a lot of, like, slow paced running. Time and gear is paramount, like being used to the heat. Because no matter what you do, everybody knows heat soak's a real thing. At some point in fire gear, you reach a point of diminishing returns for sure. Whether you're a guy that can only stand 10 minutes in it, or a guy that can go for 12 hours in it, at some point your body's going to say, yeah, this is it, we're done. So I like to build that capacity. I want to be able to stay in gear longer. So lots of gear training. And then with the group of guys that I have that are trying to all go with me, like, we're all trying to go together. There's a two-part process with Smoke Diver. First being, you have a tryout in August that qualifies you for the course. So a lot of push-ups, sit-ups, running, and in gear training to pass the tryout, because it's very competitive. Once August finishes and you luckily make it through the tryout, then it all switches to just straight training in gear, because that's what you're going to be doing at the course. So right now we're doing a lot of run training, a lot of push-ups, a lot of sit-ups, and then when we get together as a group, I like to call them, like hard days or group smash sessions, like, just like something where we all get together and do something extremely difficult, that you wouldn't necessarily want to put yourself through alone. But when you're with a group of guys, like, you're going to make it, because that everybody's suffering around you. And that's the whole premise of Smoke Diver too, is like, you're going to reach your limit. And when you look over to your left and right and your buddies are doing the same thing, you're like, I'm not going anywhere then. I guess we're staying here. So our sessions together, try to get together at least once a month and work something out where we're, like, depleted and gassed and completely annihilated by the end. But other than that, just pretty much standard mill training.
Yeah, fantastic. And like I said, I wish you the very best, man, on hopefully being successful for that program, because I know a decent number of smoke divers, and they all say, man, it's probably one of the best trainings that you'll ever get in your life. It's nothing can compare the mental resiliency, the physical preparation. So hopefully looking to see in the future a social media post of you being
Yeah,
successful on that, man.
absolutely. Me too. Me too. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's a life-changing experience for sure. Legitimately life-changing. I will never be the same. So
Okay. In your opinion, only what do you think departments can do for recruitment and retention?
recruitment and retention. Talk about what you do. Be able more community outreach is never a bad thing. Social media presence is huge now. I feel like if you have a department that is strong on the social media side, you'll recruit a lot of people who are into that. And that's just kind of where the world's going anyway. Like that's how a lot of people create their money and get their personnel is through social media. So departments that have a strong handle on that is awesome. We're getting there with our department. We have some pretty awesome videos and things that we do to like promote Melbourne Fire Department. Excuse me. But besides that, I feel like just getting out in the public more too. Word of mouth is great. And then when it comes to retention, I don't, it's kind of a tough one because, like I said, my department is very fitness oriented, which doesn't mean to say that we lack on any other skills, but like our orientation is very intense. Like we want you to find your limit before we put you on the street. And our training staff is very good at finding your limit. Like I said, one of them's a smoke diver, two other guys are going to smoke diver, very seasoned lieutenants that have been through some things and are very physically fit, and they expect the same from you. I think as far as retention goes, with the push towards more athletic and fit people in general, I feel like that's kind of an attractive quality. Like that was something that got me towards Melbourne, is knowing that these guys take their fitness seriously and their job seriously. So for me, that was like, why would I want to choose anything else? Plus, it keeps you here because when you're training with other people and you're working out and everybody's got the same ideas that you do, it's easy to stick around for sure.
Okay. All right. Love it. Love it. What advice could you give to either any new individual coming into the service, or anybody who had the who has the drive that you have, but has since been lost due to whatever the case may be? Because, like I said, it's awesome to see the passion that you have, but at some point everybody hits a wall in their career where they go a couple shifts where it's like I didn't work out, and maybe those couple shifts turns into a couple weeks or whatever the case may be. But what would you tell an individual that's either looking to come into this job or is already in the job but they have somehow lost their way?
When I think about that question as it relates to me, like if I was in that position, I feel like anytime I've been down in the dumps or felt that kind of not animosity towards the job, because there are days where you're like, dude, well, I'm going on another lift assist or we're doing this again. Like it, or you're up all night running calls that,
Right.
people are trying to offload patients at an ALF or something like that. There are moments where you question things. I mean, it kind of goes back to fitness, honestly. If I get in gear or I challenge myself physically, it puts me back in the right state of mind. And then with that, also like being able to challenge yourself physically to get others to do it with you and to push yourself to a level that can, reignite that fire that you have for the career, because it's the best job in the world, and you have to realize that. Like sometimes it's not going to be cupcakes and rainbows, but at the end of the day, it's still the best job in the world, regardless of what anybody says. Like I still get to come home, I still get to hang out with all my friends, I still get to train and do whatever I want, as it relates to being a firefighter. So that never goes away. Like, just remember why you joined. Like, remember why you chose this career field. Remember, what passion brought you here. There was something, right? Like, there's a reason you became this position and that you're still in this position that you're in. Remember that. Because there's going to be days where you're like, nah, this is not for me anymore. And then you just got to remember, well, why did I get into this first place? There's only one shift or only one call or whatever it may be. So getting in gear, being fit, remembering why you were called to the career field in the first place. And then for people who like have what it takes and maybe haven't decided they want to go to the fire department yet, just stay humble and work harder than everybody else. And that's easy to do. If you keep your mouth shut and you keep your head down and you outwork everybody, and we know, I know, the instructors know if you're not, and we know when somebody is too. Like, you can look at somebody and be like, well, he's not first necessarily in this workout, and he might not be the top of the class, but he has heart. And you can see that in somebody. Like, have heart, stay humble, keep your head down, and just work. Like, it's that simple. There's beauty and comfort in suffering. And I tell this to my wife all the time, and she hates it. I'm like, but there is beauty in suffering. And I think as humans, we've gotten so far away from that, that when people look at suffering, they're like, no, I don't want that. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to sweat. I don't want to feel anxiety. I don't want to feel any of these things that stress or suffering bring to me. But if you just open yourself up and realize that you are stronger than whatever it is trying to push you down, and you can keep your head down and work, then that's it. I like to think of it like anytime I've run an ultra, when I reach my super low points in a run or any event I've done, even when I was in Smoke Diver or the military, whatever it was, if I reached a low point, I would just think about my feet and putting one foot in front of the other. And everybody's heard that before, like, oh, just one foot in front of the other. But I'm talking like legitimately, like, all right, I'm at the end. I don't have anything left to give. I would literally just look down and be like, all right, let me just put my left foot in front. Like, okay, I can do my right foot. And then before you know it, you're 1,000 steps in. And before you know it, you're a couple miles more. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, but if you can just find your place in the pain cave, be able to like live in there comfortably, and then just continue to move forward, you can't fail. Like, you can't. You cannot fail. You're never going to quit on yourself if you do that. You'll never let anybody down. You'll give 100% effort, and you'll have heart in the game always. You just got to keep your head down and work.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said, man. Zach, I truly appreciate you coming on, accepting the invite, not knowing me from Adam, like, who is this dude? But I saw something in your posts that I was like, this guy, he gets it. He definitely gets what Logan and Basil and John Spera and all these other guys are trying to push out is be fit, remember your why, remember what you remember. If you had dreams of being a fireman and you are finally there, remember what it was like when you were hungry, because so many of us have either lost their way for either a brief moment, which is fine because life happens, but there are, I hate to say, there's probably a good number of people who have just forgotten that they've always wanted to be a part of something, and that now that they are a part of, man, that they've truly just stopped giving a fuck. Like, it's like, I don't care. I'm here. I'm just here for the pension. I'm here for the schedule. Like, remember your why. It's so easy. It's easy to say, but if you really think about like the times you dreamt about, hey, I want to be a captain, and you got passed over and you finally achieve it, but now you're falling into the same rut as earlier. Remember why you tested for that position in the first place. So, like, I just want to say thank you, man, because like your posts that I see, I'm like, all right, I really don't want to do this today, but shit, James just went out there and he's in gear. So you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna go out and
You
gear
guys all
like.
do the same thing for me too, man. It's an awesome community to be a part of, especially now. Like, it really is. It's sick. Like, I have done, like I said, I've done a lot of things in my life and worked a lot of different jobs, and it's always the same. About a year in to a year and a half in, I would look around and be like, man, this just isn't for me. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not feeling a connection here. My life is falling apart in one way or the other. This job, I look forward to going to work. That's crazy. And It's the same job that the guy who's not looking forward to it is getting up to go do too. The only difference is I love what we do. And not to say that they don't love what they do. It's just you, like you said, like remember why you did it in the first place. Even 15, 20 years in, like you got to wake up and still be like, damn, like I get to go serve my community and get paid to be an athlete. And to be somebody who takes my life seriously and then be a motivation for other people. Like so many people, we had a group of elementary school kids come by yesterday to check out the tower. And just like I'm in gear, sweating my ass off on air, like showing them all our cool stuff. And I just freaking loved it. These kids are like enamored with that. Like you're the guy, you're it. Like that's sick. When you were a little boy or a little girl and you looked up at a firefighter and you were like, damn, that's my hero, you're now that hero. Like, wear that with pride. That's awesome. Like, even when I go out now, like, wear your pride shirts, wear your cool hats, wear stuff that lets people know, like, this is what I do. Like, I'm proud of it. And if you want to come be a part of it, hit me up. Like, let's go. Like, I would love to have more motivated individuals that love this career field because that's what we need. And it's not like things are getting easier. You know, we still have medical calls through the roof. We still have fires. We still have rescues, and our stuff is just getting better. But like, you have job security right now. Like, this is the career field to be in if you have aspirations to be somebody who people look up to be an athlete, to be somebody you want to push yourself, to do things that other people don't want to do. Like, this is it. Like, this is it.
Fantastic. Love it. Love the message, Jay. Love the message, man. And like I said, I appreciate you coming on talking shop. Something that I truly love. And what's best about it is how young you are into the game. Like, hopefully nobody ever kills your drive. You keep going. And I think you'll have no issues because of who you surround yourself with. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time to do this interview and let others know it is truly okay to give a damn about the job.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate the invite and appreciate talking to you. And we'll definitely be in touch, man. It's been awesome.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.